Welcome back. The substance use disorder recovery group called Learn to Cope is celebrating its 20th anniversary later this year. It was founded right here in the city of Quincy by Joanne Peterson, who joins us in studio now to talk to us a little bit about the history of that group, its mission, its purpose, and its future as well. So, Joanne, great to meet you.
Great to meet you, too.
Yeah, appreciate glad to the be opportunity. Here. It's an important topic, certainly, and I know one that has affected you personally, which is really what led to the founding of Learn to Cope, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about how that started, if you could.
So, it actually, Bill Keating, the former Norfolk County DA, was the first DA I ever saw talking and warning the public about OxyContin use, and that was back in 2004. And our family had already been going through things since 2001 with that addiction. And I contacted his office and I said, oh, you know, I love that you're warning the public. This has been happening for a while. A lot of young people are out there using these pills and heroin. And he had an event in Stoughton. And obviously he's Congressman Keating now, but back then he was a DA. And I ended up getting up on stage and, you know, sort of talking about what was happening. At that point in our lives, we felt there really wasn't much to lose. We were losing everything, including our family member. But, you know, it evolved in the first time I ever met other parents that I could talk to because they were there in the audience, you know, just attending the event, not telling anyone why they were there. So that, you know, that comfortable feeling I got that night after meeting these parents, that's when we finally started getting together. And our first meeting was actually in Randolph, but with the support of DA Keating, back then DA Keating. So that was 20 years ago, May of 2004.
Yeah.
And it just has never stopped growing, sadly.
It has, that's right. It's kind of bittersweet, right?
That it is.
It has just exploded nationally now.
Yes.
Because the need is still there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's always been there, really. I think this crisis really exacerbated it, but I mean, addiction, substance use disorder has been around for generations.
Right.
But this was so prevalent and just started taking so many lives so quickly. I think it really started needing the attention that it gets.
It was called a crisis, right?
Yes.
When did it actually kind of, you know, get accepted as a crisis situation?
I think in the early 2000s,
okay.
When they started looking at fatalities, overdoses, you know, a lot of kids in high school, you know, that just all of a sudden were dropping off and people didn't even know what it was and never even heard about it. You know, I know many people know a company, Purdue Pharma, mismarketed that drug and basically spread it across the nation.
Yeah. Has anything good come from that, Joanne? From, you know, that, I mean, there's multiple lawsuits, you know, billions of dollars in settlements distributed. Did anything good come from that?
I would say the only good thing that's come from it is stigma. People are talking more about substance use disorder. There's still stigma is still very much alive and well.
Really? Yeah.
Yes. It's gotten better. People aren't as afraid to talk about what's happening to them or their family members. And there's more treatments available. There's also nasal naloxone, which we became a pilot for the state, and we were able to distribute it and still today to families, offering training and how to recognize an overdose and literally save someone's life. We've had over 200 saves the last week, collected the data on it.
The last week?
No, the last week collected data was over 200.
Okay.
We report that to the Department of Public Health, as well as how many kits we give out and trainings that we do.
Right, as I'm sure you're aware, the Quincy Police Department was the first municipal police department in the country to have their officers carry naloxone with them, right?
Right, and I was right around at that time, too, with Pat Glynn.
Yes, right.
You know, the DA now, Keating, Morrissey.
Yep.
So Quincy's been really proactive, the mayor. In our first Quincy meeting, actually, was at Eastern Nazarene, I want to say, it might have been like 2010, maybe.
Sounds right, yeah.
And I remember that there was a line out the door of people to get into that meeting.
Really?
It's not as big today. There's a lot more out there now. There's social media. There's groups on social media. We didn't have that back then.
Sure.
But there's still a Quincy group today.
Okay.
Still meeting.
So let's talk about what Learn to Cope is. You know, what actually is it, Joanne? What does it do, and how does it benefit folks who are going through this in their lives?
So Learn to Cope is family or friends. So we're mothers, fathers, grandparents, siblings, spouses, partners, cousins and friends that love somebody that's experiencing, you know, addiction. Mm-hmm. It's mainly opioids, but we are seeing more and more people come for other addictions like alcohol and other drugs, methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still other prescription drugs sometimes that someone might not be using properly. So we're there to provide, just like our website says, support, education, resources, and hope. And I feel like hope is one of the biggest things that somebody needs, because when you find out that this is happening to someone you love, you lose hope very quickly. You take it internally, you blame yourself, and you think, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Or did I do too much of this or not enough of that? And you know, you go inward sometimes. So it's very important for people to have a group, or any group really, that's supportive. My belief was, I grew up with addiction and mental health stuff in my life, my whole life. So when it happened again years later, I thought, I can't live like this for the rest of my life internally alone with this. I need people. And that's what happened. But one of my favorite quotes with Learn to Cope is, people should feel better when they leave than they did when they came in. And that's, we strive to make that happen. We have a team of people. They're amazing. There's 16 of us, very well trained regional managers who also train facilitators at all of our meetings on Zoom and in person. Mm-hmm. And we try to have support, education, resources, and hope in every meeting. Resources are very important to give to people. It's an education. Education about what is addiction or substance use disorder. How does someone get addicted? And rather than focusing on what's happening, I feel like learning about it is power, and that gives you your confidence back, because you realize that there's a science behind it. It's not just that someone's being, you know, if someone that doesn't understand it sees someone out there in the struggling in the street, they'll stigmatize them right away. Oh, that person should be out getting a job. You know, or if they've relapsed and, you know, they get evicted or things happen to them, you know, people don't understand the science behind it and the help and the support that they need, and stigmatizing them just hurts them and their family.
The interesting thing about, I think, Learn to Cope, as opposed to, say, you know, medical assistance treatment centers, is you're really focusing on the whole person, right? The family, friends. Mm-hmm. It's not just the person going through the disease of addiction, right? But it's all the people surrounding them as well. It says right on your website, peer-led support network. So it's the peers first. They're first in the picture, right? Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the things that, just as an example with Narcan, we are first responders a lot of the times. A lot of times people are finding someone they love in their home or in the driveway. So, you know, it was, the old days was, let them go, there's nothing you can do. There's a lot of things you can do. One is get educated and then find out how you can, in a loving way. And you know, people like to call us the tough love group. We're really not. We're not. Sometimes you have to, you know, do things that are really hard, but we're not saying kick them out. We don't do that. Maybe in the early days, you know, in the very beginning, it was like, what do you do? And then you'd be told by other groups, there's nothing you can do. But there are things you can do. And one of them is get educated, learn about the disease, learn about how you can be a part of helping rather than, you know, a part of, you know, the problem, really. And some people can go back home, some people can't. Right. I mean, it's everyone's situation is different.
So learn to cope. Cope with what? You know, and what does that mean when you say cope?
That's what I was doing. So it's funny, before this was even anything, I had an email address that was learn to cope.
Really?
2001, because I would join different, you know, I'd read articles or I would email different people or things, and I didn't want my name anywhere.
Okay.
So I created a Yahoo email address, and this is back in the early 2000s, Learn to Cope.
All right. Oh, okay.
So it wasn't my name. It was like I would email and ask a question, but I didn't want anyone to know who I was.
Because
I didn't want
of the
them
stigma,
to know what was
right?
happening, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't want other parents in town to know that something was happening. And it wasn't just, you know, in my immediate family, it was also my niece ended up caught up in it. I lost a brother in 2011, not to opioid addiction, but to years of alcohol and other substances and mental health issues that, you know, people back in the 70s, it was more about, oh, you know, kick them out or this and that, you know, when I was a little girl. And my mother had no support. And I think now, and my mother even said to me years later, I wish there was a Learn to Cope around when I was going through this with your brother.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that was part of the reason I formed it the way I did, is I wanted everything we needed and didn't have.
Okay.
So learning to cope by yourself is no fun.
Yes.
Yeah. But now we can all cope together, right?
And kind of pull the shade back a little bit, right, on the secrecy that would just, perpetuate the problem, right?
Yeah, secrets hurt.
It, yeah.
Stigma hurts. I mean, you don't have to shout out from the rooftops what you're going through.
Right.
But the shame, you know, you can wear that like a heavy coat, you know, just like grief is like a heavy coat. Mm. Like anything that is hurtful like that, you know, think of the young children that have parents that are out there. You know, they've lost parents and they're in school and they have to see the other parents with the two parent families. You know that's hurting them, but they're not talking about it.
Yeah,
they might not even tell anyone they lost their parent. They live with a foster parent or another caregiver or a grandparent.
Yep. Which leads me to your event coming up in May. This is the 20 years of family resilience and hope for Learn to Cope. It's going to be Thursday, May 16th, 6 to 10 p.m. at the Grand Lynx Golf Club right here in Quincy.
Yes.
Tell me all about it. What'll be happening?
Well, we're calling it sort of a night of commencement, like just in resilience. There'll be people in that room that were here 20 years ago that might still be a part of Learn to Cope as a volunteer or maybe even a staff member now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There'll be people in that room that have supported us over the last 20 years along the way. Former governors, the governor is invited. I think she's coming. You know, we'll invite the mayor of Quincy.
Sure.
And just, you know, anyone that's interested in coming and helping us just sort of commemorate those 20 years. There's been a lot of lives saved. There's been a lot of lives lost.
Yep.
That's why we don't really like to, when we were creating even just the event, we didn't want to use the word celebrate really because we've lost so many people.
Okay.
And we will be honoring, that we'll have a special spot that night to honor those people that we've lost, but we're also honoring people like Dr. Alex Wally. He's getting an award that night. If it wasn't for him doing his standing order for nasal naloxone and trusting me, him and former BSAS Michael Botticelli, allowing us to become a pilot to train and, you know, save people's lives and give family members the opportunity to go home with this tool. So we're honoring him, and then we're also honoring a longtime mom, Mary DeRamo, who's been with us since the very first meeting.
Wow.
And she has volunteered for us for years, and then when she retired, she became our website specialist.
Is that
right? She works, you know, part-time, but 7 days a week she's on that computer,
getting,
you know,
information
approving out. We get new registrations on our website every week.
Yep.
Everything's confidential, anonymous, free. Nothing costs anything, ever. We answer the phones every day. There's no 5 o'clock closed. If someone called at 8 o'clock, somebody's gonna check that voicemail at some point within the next 24 hours and they'll get a call back.
Okay.
Yeah. Emails, constantly answering emails. They never go unanswered.
Because I've heard it said that when you're ready, that's the right time to get treatment, right? It's when that person reaches out or when that family member reaches out, that's the time that it has to happen.
Because
you've kind of hit bottom, right?
Right.
Okay.
And a lot of what we do now, especially since COVID, we had to pivot everything like everybody else with COVID, and we have meetings on Zoom. We have meetings in Spanish. We have grief groups. We have Still Learning, Still Coping, which Peter Babineau in our Western Mass region, he runs our East Hampton Family Center. He started Still Learning, Still Coping, which is families that have lost one person but still have another person struggling.
Oh, okay.
And then we have Learn to Cope Remembers. Our Kathy Alamo started that one. And then we have our Falmouth Center that has a grief group meeting there. And then the Sun Will Rise uses our space for their meeting there, too. So we have two there. But we do yoga, sound healing. We've had different rock painting, putting together broken pieces of china with the, you know, I forget what you call it. I'm sorry, I can't think of the name of it.
Mosaics.
So, you know, things to do, too, to, so that we're kind of finding ways to not always focus on what we're going through. So that's a healthy thing for us.
There are 27 chapters of Learn to Cope, 12,000 members, a chapter in Florida.
Yes, yeah.
And online, right?
Online. We have Zoom meetings Monday through Thursday. We have in-person and Zoom. So Monday through Thursday night, there's always a meeting somewhere. And the nice thing about Zoom is people can join from anywhere. We've had people from Portugal join our Spanish meeting.
Is that right? Okay. Tell me a little bit about the Forget-Me-Not Fund that you'll be starting up.
This is an initiative I've wanted to do for a really long time.
Yeah.
In the summertime, we have a Canobie Lake Day, and we've done it, I think last year was our sixth year, and it's children that have been affected by addiction, either by losing parents or, you know, being raised by foster care grandparents, or just, you know, their parents are in recovery. So we have a day at Canobie Lake for them, so that they can just have a day, and the grandparents have a day to get together, or, you know, caregivers. So we're going to take that a step further. And we'll announce that on May 16th, but it'll be the Forget-Me-Not Fund.
Okay.
And one of the things that, one of the scholarships that we will give out will be for people that are 18, have aged out, and have been accepted to college. A lot of times they're eligible for a lot of scholarships, but there isn't one for, like, dorm room setup.
Right.
Getting a laptop and bed sheets and, you know, things like that. So
mini fridge and stuff.
Exactly. So they'll be able to apply for that.
Yeah.
And then we'll have scholarships that will be for, you know, people that are raising kids that can't afford gymnastics or dance class or lacrosse or basketball.
Very expensive
football.
Stuff now, yeah.
Right. So their family, if they're under 18, they can write us an essay.
Okay.
We're forming a committee now that's people outside of Learn to Cope that will review the applications, and then our board will approve them. So we're going to try to do this every year. So we're going to put in a significant amount of our donations, which comes sadly from obituaries.
Yeah.
We don't do a lot of fundraising.
Right.
Although this event is a fundraiser.
Sure.
It's the first one we've had publicly in 5 years.
I hope it's a great success, Joanne. And again, bittersweet, right? Good and bad that Learn to Cope is there.
It is. Yeah. I have to say, I've met friends that will be my friends for life.
Sure.
Just, you know, doing this work and having it myself.
Yeah. Hope we've been able to get the message out a little bit for you here today.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much
You're
for
welcome.
Having us and talking about this.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks
Appreciate
for coming
it.
By.
Thank you.